By the way, the devil doesn't leave you alone when you get back home any more than he leaves you alone when you go overseas. And the Lord has been tremendous to us. And actually, I've had the best time, I think, working with university people since I returned of any period of my life. So by the time I get to the age of Pa, by the way, I visited Pa last night. I was down in Alabama, and I had a good visit with my father. He's 92 years young, and he loves the Lord, and we spent a lot of time in prayer. And his mind is keen as a whip, but the nature of things, his eyes and his ears and the rest of his body is getting older, of course. And he wants to be with the Lord so bad. He just wants him to come, just any day. But it's tremendous that his mind is so sharp. And he just can't hardly put anything over him, even though he doesn't hear very well and see very well, but he knows what's going on. So I appreciated that heritage and that wonderful time that we've had together these last two or three days. So to begin our evening, let's have a word of prayer, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for this beautiful time together. I thank you for every fellow and for every girl. Lord, I pray now that you'll open our hearts to the Word and the Word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Our title is The Source of Wisdom. Our wisdom in daily life, and our title tonight is The Source of Wisdom. Our key verse is Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The source of wisdom. Isn't that beautiful? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The two verses previous to this is, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he'll be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The source of wisdom, in practical terms, is the Bible, the Word of God. You know, this Bible is not just an ordinary book, although it is a book. Someone tells you that, what's the Bible? You say, well, it's a book, actually. But it really, it's a library. It's a library containing 66 books. We're told that we have some 40 different authors over a period of about 1,500 years. Some time ago, when I was in New Zealand, I had the privilege of having a part in two fellows coming to Christ. One was a European, of European descent. They call them Pākehā. And the national, not really the national, but the more recent national, the Polynesian, the Maori. Of course, the Polynesian didn't get there till about 1300. I don't know what was there before then. But anyway, these two fellows came to Christ. And the Polynesian, the Maori chap, was a truck driver. Great big, handsome chap. Had a wife and four kids. And we were doing Bible study together. The Pākehā, the European, had recruited him. And he says, this American is in town, and he and I are doing Bible study together, and we would like to have you join us. And we're just having a delightful time. And Willie Tata, who is a brand new Christian, he said, well, really, he says, that sounds very interesting. He says, how much does he charge? Why shouldn't, you know, if you're not a Christian? You know, he didn't know what you charge for your lectures or charge for your interviews. Isn't that beautiful? So it really came over, and we were doing Bible study together. And I kept mentioning about the New Testament, the New Testament verses. And the first night we were together, Willie said, New Testament. Well, John, he says, evidently there's an Old Testament. If there's a New Testament, you know, there's probably an Old. Beautiful, isn't it? And I said, yes, Willie, there is, really. You know, Willie didn't know that there was an Old Testament. He didn't know there was a New Testament until a few days before. He didn't know anything. When we got to the question about why was Jesus born in Bethlehem, his question was, yes, why Bethlehem? Why not Constantinople? You know? Why Bethlehem? He was an educated man. At least he had a high school graduate, and he could read real well. And so we started back at the basics, you know. And I said, well, it was prophesied back in Micah. And you want to know what Micah was? Micah as a prophet, but you know, he didn't know what Micah might be, something like pewter, you know, a stone, you know, Micah, pewter, you know, it's a, you know. It really is thrilling to work with people who are really outside of our culture. And I don't mean our culture race-wise, I mean our culture Christian-wise. And I'm sure that you have the privilege of having friends who probably don't know there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. And probably don't care. And they don't know if Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So what? You know? But the source of wisdom is the Bible. And this is what this is. This is a book. This is a book, but not just an ordinary book. This is a book that contains the message of a person. And this person is Jesus Christ, God's Son. And God gave us this book to reveal His Son to us. We find in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at different times and different ways spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. So God speaks to you and me through Jesus Christ from the pages of this book. And by the way, as we studied the Bible together, both Bruce and Willie began to learn the Bible, and of course they began to share their faith with their friends. Willie was a big Euclid driver, a great big earth mover, you know. And he liked to pray when he was standing at idols before, when his earth mover was up there. And so he was praying away and reviewing his verses, but he was moving his lips while his big diesel was at idle. And his foreman came by and he said, "Hey, Willie." He said, "Who are you talking to? I see your lips moving. I know you're talking to somebody. Who is it?" He said, "Yeah, I'm talking to somebody." He said, "You can't see him, but I'm talking to him." Beautiful. Beautiful. The source of wisdom is the Word of God. And Willie had learned to talk to the Lord. He had learned to pray. He had learned to review his verses while he had a few moments at work. The Bible is God's Word. We accept the Bible as it is. Quite often people say, "Well, the Bible's been translated from so many different languages, you know, written in Hebrew and in Greek and then translated in other languages. Been translated so many times. Surely it must be filled with mistakes." You're in education. Let me present something for your consideration. May I? Let me turn that around 180 degrees. Okay? Why do you translate a book? Someone tell me out loud. Why do you translate? So that someone else can read it, yeah. And it's usually, how many other people can read it? Yeah, lots of people. Why would you translate a book on medicine, say, from German to French, so that other med students could read it? Have you ever opened your textbook and in the first page it says, on page 5 there's a misspelled word, and on page 37 there's this, and page this, and the next translation these will be corrected? How do you suppose they found out those mistakes? Someone tell me. Yeah, proofreaders, and you and I read it, you see. If you translate a book and you throw it open for hundreds and yea thousands of people to read it, and then you say you could propagate mistakes, somebody thinks we're a bunch of dummies, don't they? Huh? Because many people can read both the Hebrew and the English, both the Greek and the English, you see? Lots of people. Not just a few, thousands of folks can read the original language, and they can read the language into which it's translated. I maintain, for your consideration, it's virtually impossible to translate the Bible and propagate mistakes. Rather than, because it's translated many times, must be mistakes. For the reason that people would pick it up. Why, when you want to run for politics, you can't even hide your past. They go back and dig up all those treasures, you know. You like that point, don't you? I can tell you do. I can see it in your faces. Or do you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? We got to hurry anyway. You know, another reason I believe the Bible has not been mistranslated is that's not the Bible, the devil's plan. See, the devil, we find in 2 Corinthians 2:11, that Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. It hasn't been the devil's plan to mistranslate the Bible. It's been the devil's plan to complicate the Bible. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear, lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. My pastor told me in New Zealand, he said, the time of Christ, they had something like 12,000 volumes to explain the Ten Commandments. Many of them were on the remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And they had all such idiotic things like you couldn't drag a chair on the Sabbath day because you might, it would leave a trench, you know, in the dirt. And that trench, a seed might, wind might blow a seed in that trench and it might grow and that'd be work. Couldn't do that. See? But when the Lord Jesus came along, he told Martha, when she was all excited about Mary, you know, setting the table, he's visiting for dinner. And Martha was all excited because he said, Lord, Mary makes me do everything. You know, have you ever heard that? Mama, make sister help me with the dishes. Brother doesn't do a thing. Jesus said, Martha, my dear, thou art anxious and troubled about many things. Only a few things are really needed, maybe only one. Listen, gang, Jesus said maybe only one thing. And Mary has chosen that one thing. Please don't tear it away from her. What was the one thing that Mary had chosen? Do you remember? What was it? Spending time with Jesus. Sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word. Only one thing we need. They came to Jesus one day and they said, Master, which is the first and great commandment? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment. And the second is like the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now get a load of this. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Jesus Christ said too. Isn't that beautiful? See, Jesus made it simple. He made it awful simple. Very simple. Just one, two, and ten at the most. That's all there are. You ever heard of the 12 commandments? Them others is what I put in. No, not complicated at all. But the devil comes along and complicates it. That's his plan. And he's complicated for you and for me. It really is. Start off with Eve. He said, but the tree is in the midst of God, and thou shalt eat of it. Thou shalt not eat of it. From the day thou eatest of, thou shalt surely die. The devil come along and says, how's things going? She says, well, can't do nothing around this place. There's a tree out there. Can't eat the fruit. Can't even touch it. Now she made that up. Imagine the universe. Imagine the freedom that Eve had. Imagine all the good things that she had. And there was only one thing that was restricted from her. Can't do nothing on this place. He made it mighty simple. And another reason you know it when he tries to lead us astray is all the cults and the people that would lead us astray, they don't mistranslate the Bible either. They say, you got to have our book to understand the Bible. But they don't translate it. They don't change it. They really don't. They take their book and put it with, that's God's plan. Why did he give us the Bible, this truth? It's a special revelation of divine truth, which man could not otherwise understand. See, in the religions of the world, it's man trying to find God. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's God trying to find man. What is unique about the Bible? God makes a bid for man instead of man about for God. There's several things that are unique about the Bible. People of the Bible, even the heroes, have their faults as well as their good points revealed. Another thing that's unique about the Bible is the all or nothing concept. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The all or nothing concept. By the way, there's a lot of ways to Jesus, only one way to God. Jesus says, no man goes to the Father except through me. But you can find Jesus different ways. I found Jesus as I watched my mother pass away. My boy found Jesus when he was 6 years old through the influence of the Sunday school. My girl found Jesus through some rather startling things that came into her life. My wife found Jesus by looking at a movie at church that her sister had tried to get her to come to see. It called The Missing Christian. And she thought, hey, you know, when it's all over, I'm going to be missing. And she came. But only one way to God, one way to Jesus. See, we're doing real well. We're just flicking off these pages here. I like to go fast, don't you? The source of this wisdom course, the primary source and the big thing to you and me, is the source of salvation. Only one way to God, that's through Christ. Many ways to Christ. But Jesus said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Have you ever heard people say, well, all roads lead to Rome? By the way, that's not true. I was in Italy, and you can get just as lost as you can in West Virginia. Man, I got lost. I couldn't even find my way around the Florence airport, or the train station, rather. All roads don't lead to Rome. They lead all over them cow paths. No. The reason folks say all roads lead to Rome is, I'm going my way and don't you bother me. I was startled last night. I was in Alabama last night. Yesterday afternoon. And I tried to jog a little bit. It's getting slower and slower, but I'm still out there. I was jogging last night up the country road where my father lives, and I saw a car there, and some birds were flying around. I thought some fellas might be hunters, and left the car. And I like to shoot birds, so I thought, well, I'm just going to peek in their car and find out what kind of shells they're using. I didn't see anybody in the car. So I went over and peeked in the car, and there was a guy sprawled out in the car. And I kicked on it a couple of times. Then I realized that he had departed from this life. So I went up to my cousin's place, and we called the sheriff. Sobering, you know, 31 years old, windows rolled up. Radio was on. I guess he went out, you know, listening to the radio. I don't know what happened. I didn't get the story. In the back of the seat was a bunch of pharmaceuticals. I couldn't tell what they were. You know, it looked like he was a delivery for something. See? But you know, for him, it's all over. Whatever it is, it's all over. He's 31 years old. The sheriff gave his name. I forget what it is now. But it's startling. And pretty soon they called the hearse, and I was finished my jog and went down and had my shower and watching out the window while this was going on. And they saw the hearse, and the police left, and the hearse took the body away, and then I saw the wrecker come and took the car away, and then the traffic kept going. And boy, you know, that road, people just drive by there an hour later and didn't even know what happened. You know, this life just goes on. But it stopped for him. All or nothing concept. And you know, folks, if you and I go out of this life not knowing Jesus Christ, the source of wisdom tells us that we're going to a Christless eternity. Really? And it's so simple to seal our relationship with God. It's so simple. God begged us to do it. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes in the Father but me. Come to me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As I watched my mother pass away, I looked at her when she was dying. I don't like to look at people when they're dying, except my loved ones. I want to stay with them right there. And by the way, I want you to stay with me too, okay? You know, when I go to die, I want you to hold my hand. I want you to be right there. Nothing's going to get you. You know, it'll be all right. Might be a sweet experience. Was for me. Sobering experience. Sobered me in more ways than one. Thank you. Over the next 3 months, I began to read the Bible, her Bible, actually. And I began to wonder where she was. And I heard of heaven, but, you know, where's heaven? You know? I knew where the body was because we'd put the body over there in the cemetery. So where was the spirit? Well, I found through reading the Bible that the spirit was with Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, you don't wait around. You don't wait around in some in-between place. You get right on up there. Not with your present body. That won't be resurrected for a while yet. But you get up there in His presence and you can be with Him. You remember on the cross? He told the thief, He says, today there shall be me in paradise. Today. Well, He is the way. And you know, He is called the Word of God. Revelation 19:13. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. He is the source of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. You know, you don't even start to learn until you become a Christian. You know that. You can learn academically. Or you can learn how to build a house. You can be a tremendous architect. You can be a good bricklayer. You can be a good craftsman. You can have a lot of knowledge, but you won't have wisdom. Because wisdom is applied knowledge, is making application. And so that's what you and I did when we became Christians. We took faith and we applied it to the Word of God. And we find in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. And what you and I did is like as in Ephesians 2:89, for by grace are you saved through faith, not knowledge of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So now then we become Christians, and one day we'll be caught up with Him. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall ever be with the Lord. In our Sunday school class the other day, the question come up, shall we know the people? We find in 1 Corinthians 13, we shall know as we are known. My mother was known by Elizabeth. So when you meet my mother, you will say, you're Elizabeth. You're John's mother. I'm so glad to meet you. You don't have to be introduced. Because Peter and John didn't have to be introduced to Moses and Elias on the Mount of Transfiguration. They knew who they were, and they'd never met. You know, Peter, you know, he had the foot and mouth disease. Every time he opened his mouth, put his foot in. He said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles, three tents, you know, and let's just stay right on this mountaintop. And the scripture says he didn't know what else to say, so he said that. Oh, brother, that's what I do so many times. But he didn't have to be introduced. But after you and I become Christians, we want to grow. And we grow by the same wisdom whereby we're saved, namely the Word of God. We find in Peter, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And again, growth starts with the thoughts. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Evil also starts with the thoughts. You see, basically our hearts are evil. We're born with that evil heart. Mark 7:21-23, far from within, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts. Excuse me, my voice has changed. Your voice changes when you're little and get up big, and then when you get up big and get little, it changes again. I'm going a second time. We'll start over with Mark 7:21. Far from within, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, deceit, lasciviousness, wickedness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. And you and I know from our childhood that we didn't have to be taught bad. We just did it. Didn't have to be taught to lie. We lied instinctively. Didn't have to be taught to steal. We just stole because it comes so natural. Those little angels, they're just precious little angels, and they are, you know, when they're asleep. They really are. Jeremiah 6:19. Listen to this verse. This is from Jeremiah. Hear, O earth, behold, I send evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened to my words nor my law, but rejected them. Gang, we reap the fruit of our thoughts. We're going to get to that tomorrow. The fruit of wisdom. Matthew 12:34, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So we find that this wicked heart has to be cultivated with the pure word of God. Psalm 12:6, every word of God is pure, is a shield on them that put their trust in him. Proverbs 30:5, the words of the Lord as pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. I think I got those references back. The front. So we take the pure word of God and we pack it into the wicked receptacle of the heart as Christians. And it's motivated by the Holy Spirit of God. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So once you become a Christian and have the Holy Spirit in you, then we take the pure word of God and we pack it into the wicked receptacle of the heart. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It affects our thought pattern. And affects our words. And you can tell if you're growing. If you and I are growing as Christians, we act like men. We act like adults, spiritually. Not that we don't have fun like kids, but we act. We don't act like children in regard to being drawn aside and by every wind of doctrine. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. And as I look into the mirror, I don't look in the mirror much. The other day I had a piece of, I said some smut, and my daughter said, Daddy, why don't you wash your face? You've had that smut on your cheek all day. Of course, I wouldn't know, because I don't look in the mirror. There's no use, you know. Don't have to comb my hair. I shave with an electric razor, and I know my face is, you know. Don't use makeup. But when I do, I see a man that's fading. But I see the inward man is being renewed day by day. You're young. You're beautiful. But you know, you're going to get older. You really are. But the inward man doesn't have to get older. It can be strengthened day by day. And we find that this wisdom will strengthen you, and this wisdom will guide you, and this wisdom will lead you. We find in Proverbs 6:22-23, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And in Exodus 34:29, Moses was up on the mountain, and he was talking to the Lord, and he got the Ten Commandments and other commandments. And Scripture says, when he came down, his face shone, and the people couldn't look at him, but he didn't know his face was shining. So when you and I spend time with Jesus Christ through his word, when we come to the source of wisdom through the Bible daily, it changes our faith. My daughter made a commitment to Christ the last week in April of this year. She's 18. And since that time, her face has been shining differently. I think I can tell the difference in the pictures. You know the snapshots, the pictures, really. She looks different. She's so much prettier than she was. She was an attractive girl. But now then, the real person is coming out, because she's growing more and more and more and more in love with Jesus Christ. We tell when we're growing by how we act and what we do. One point, and we'll draw this to a screeching halt, the importance of wisdom in sharing with others in our ministry. Mark 4:14, the sower soweth the word. 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The oracles of God is the spoken word of God. Oratory, oracle, oratory. You see, you have to speak the word of God. The reason you have to speak the word of God is that people can't read and won't read. The reason you have to send missionaries to talk to folks is that the natives won't read, and many of them can't read, so you have to talk to them. You have to speak the Word of God because the pagans in our country won't read, so you have to talk to them. Salesmen do the same thing. They would give them literature to try to buy their products, but they won't read it, so they talk to them. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him talk to people. Why? It's because the Scripture says in Psalm 119:155, salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. See, the ordinary person, in my experience and your experience, is not seeking the Word of God. They don't even hear it. All they hear is television all day long. It sure is amazing to me, and you talk to your relatives and your in-laws and your outlaws and what have you, about television. They say, I don't look at television much. I don't look at television much. And you go to their house, and the thing's on all day long. It never turned on. Never. See? They look at it. So you have to get in front of it. That's what I do. Get right in front of it. You talk to them. Talk to them about the Word of God. Gang, the Bible is the source of wisdom. Our key verse is Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Can you say that with me? Ready? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Say it again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this lesson tonight. Help us to make application. And Lord, teach us the seriousness of life. Because one day we shall pass away. Maybe be an old person like our grandparents. It might be some young person in an automobile accident. But Lord, we know we're going to pass this life. I pray, Lord, that every fellow and gal here today, tonight, would know you in a very personal way. And that this weekend might begin a weekend of growing in Christ, so we become more and more and more and more like you every day of our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.